I'm going to introduce Tatjana Bulkelt. She was born in East Berlin, Germany, and has lived and worked as an artist in Helsinki, Finland for the last 20 years. A multilingualist, she studied in Germany and France with two masters in painting and printmaking. Her artwork looks closely at the relationship between thought, words, and form. Tatjana is going to bring you a deeper insight into one of her books in the following presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Imi, for introducing me, and thank you very much, Codex, for inviting me to speak. So I will try to keep my time. I want to share with you a project which I started in 2015. And to put it a little bit on the map, I invite you to Europe. So I invite you to Northern Europe. You see very well here the area of Northern Sweden, Northern Norway, and Northern Finland. And this is basically where I was struck by something which I call the nothingness, because there is not much, like you can see. We do not have the waterfalls or the fantastic fjords or mountains like in Norway. This is basically all you can see. It's the tundra and some stones, some ice age lakes, and otherwise nothing. So you might know that the people who live there, they are also reindeer herders, and they are called Sami. Okay, I invite you again to this place, because when you are there and there is nothing, nothing amazing, nothing very impressive, but what I really felt, I felt that I belonged, and that was very strange. So I wanted to look into it. I wanted to read about it, to figure something out. And of course, I knew about the Sami as the almost only indigenous people of Europe. And I was already before working with words about indigenous, indignant, innovative. So it wasn't completely new. But I really did not yet study it in a sense. So I usually what a middle European thinks, like me as well. So I thought, okay, I find books about or by the Sami. I was quite ignorant of the fact that the Sami are not like the Jews or the Christians or the Muslim people of the book. They are nomads, and the storytelling tradition which they have is rather spoken or sung. So they do have a very beautiful way to communicate in a song, which is called Yoik. It's basically an improvised poem, which is dedicated to the listener, which is a big present if you get Yoik to be sung. So the Sami, like any indigenous people, of course, are threatened by exploring the country they have been lived on, and they were perceived as almost another race when they were discovered beginning of the 19th century. These were the typical photos. You can still find them in archives. They were described as living in earth holes and were not really worthy to let be lived like they were. So of course they were hunting and reindeer herding, and they had their mystic worlds. They were then Christianized. What a lot of people don't know, that they actually had over 20 different languages, of which they still speak 9. And here you can see some of them named, and they have, because it was never written down, they used the Latin alphabet, except these different letters, which you can see. And 2 of these 9 languages are actually on the verge of extinction. So these are the typical photos of beginning of the 19th century, a little bit like in a zoological kind of examination. And they have been granted some rights, like you see, by the different northern countries, but they can still not really decide about very important land issues. So then I finally stumbled over some poems by a poet and artist and singer, Niels Aslak Valkeapää, who calls himself Ailuhash, and I will refer to him as Ailu. And they were really stunning. That was a big book with 565 poems called Son, My Father. And they had only numbers, no titles, and they had a narration within themselves. And they kind of triggered this process of figuring out how can I get to the essence of something with a Sami. And I started to look for the different tribes, the different languages. I started to think about, is it a homogeneous color? Will there be lots of horizont? I figured that actually they had nothing square in their world. They were always moving around. The kota, which is the name of their house, like a tipi, is round. The main instrument, the drum, is oval. Then I was thinking, okay, will I use the fact that they have these different languages? And this way I kind of chose and reassembled all kind of material. So I was aware of the circle-like movement and a certain amount of poems which I will use because I didn't want to work with 565. So this was how it looked like when I started to choose the poems, and I realized if I were to even choose only six poems, I wanted to use the original language, which is Northern Sami, the language I read them in, which is Finnish, quite near to Sami, and then translate them into, for instance, German. So this was the conversation I had with a translator about certain words which actually do not exist in other languages because these things do not exist. There is one word for a hill without vegetation in the tundra. It's called tunturi in Finnish. And there is no word for it in German or in English. And the translators have an agreement that they would call it fjäll, which is a loan word from Swedish language. Secondly, Ailu had a certain way to write his poems. He used this stair-like graphics, and that meant for me that it will take a lots of space, so I couldn't really figure will I be able to print the translation besides the original, or will I have different pages. Here I have a translation for you in English because you don't read Finnish or Northern Sami. Oh, this is unfortunate, it's a bit overlapping, I don't know why it changed its format. But he has been writing a lot about the land, and the very particular thing is what we often think that the indigenous people thank the land that they can use it. This is actually our way to think. They are thanking the fact that they can be part of the land, like the animals, like the stones, like the wind. So they are not at all thinking about that they are using the land. So I was in Sapmi, which is the land of the Sami, in Utsjoki, and I took photos, and I started to consider to use maps, old maps, weather maps, to actually introduce the idea of the land and the specifics of the land. I also took the possibility to use satellite images of temperature, of the ice, of wind movements, isotopic maps, and then decided to use very, very thin paper to be able to overlap different layers to actually create this illusion of movement. So here you can see, do I have a pointer? I don't, here. So this part is always Northern Europe, so I always try to leave this part where they live actually in a very visible spot. So I combined photos of myself or taken pictures of animals and places, and this is the overlayering process. So this would be usually a portrait you would find in an archive of a historical museum. I wanted them actually to shine through, to not be pictured. So again, maps, you see the round form overlapping. And little by little, I got images which I started to put together as creating a dialogue between the images. And I realized that there are so many poems with these three languages that I have to do two books. So two books with each 33 or 27 pages, then you can imagine the amount of paper you use, and very thin paper, you know how to cut it on, how difficult it is to cut it. And then I started to arrange the pages, the poems to each other, and this is the second book. So the first book has these round and oval forms, as in movement, as in nothing square, and the second book is actually inside the country, going from page to page. So many of you know that when you print on 9 gram paper, you have to actually glue it on another support, and then you take it off, and then you have problems. And so I had also 21 gram paper. I don't know how much it is in your weight description, but the good thing about this thin paper was that it creates a ghost image on the backside. So by actually doubling, like you see here, the edge, and I was ironing and then sewing it with a sewing machine, I would have the possibility to use the backside of the image in conversation to the text. So there was never an empty space. I decided to put the two books in a box covered with linen, because linen comes from the earth, and the title and the names were printed in white because of the title of the book, Barefoot in Snow. And then the books had uncolored linen still with a white title. So this would be, for instance, in the first book, dialogue between two pages introducing the place, the land, what we are talking about. In the first book, the themes were on a meta level, like the land, the time, the dreams. And I wanted to give something really haptical, something real from the land, so I added a page, a transparent page with lesion at the end of the book, which is basically the bridge to the next book, where you are in the land, and the pages are really covered with the image, like staying inside. And like I was telling, for instance, this is called Tunturi, so it's a little hill with some stones on it, no vegetation, and this would be the ghost image from the previous page. So I want to thank again, and I want to finish my talk with the words of Ailu, who unfortunately is not alive anymore, but this is what he would say maybe now being here. Thank you.